people with ADHD tend to gravitate towards entrepreneurship because, generally speaking, we have more divergent thinking. We think out of the box, and also it fosters creativity. I've spoken to some people who've had bosses who have really not understood the way their brain works. And so instead of focusing on their strengths, and there are strengths with ADHD, they've focused on the challenges that people with ADHD have. I realized, or my parents realized, when I was about 12 or 13, that I'm short-sighted, that I needed glasses. So yeah, that's a label, but it was a really helpful label because then I could do something about it. And I think that's the same with ADHD. Like, the problem is it's in the mental health kind of category. And so, yeah, that it's a tricky one. But when you know that you have something that is different or something that impairs you in some way, such as short-sightedness, you can go and get some glasses.
Keeping you up to date on the world of social media. Industry experts, innovators, creators, storytellers, and the latest social media tools, tips, and tactics. This is Social Media News Live.
Hello, folks. Welcome to Social Media News Live. I'm Jeff C., and you're not.
And I'm Connor Brown, and this is the show that keeps you up to date on what's happening in the world of social media and more.
Have you ever wondered how ADHD might be a powerful tool in entrepreneurship and creativity? Maybe you're intrigued by the ways it can fuel innovation and lead to unique business successes. Or maybe you're on a journey to harness your ADHD in a way that amplifies your creative and entrepreneurial spirit. If those thoughts have crossed your mind, well, today's episode is tailor-made just for you. We're excited to have Ian Anderson Gray with us, a creator who has navigated the waters of ADHD to uncover strategies that leverage his strengths in the business and creative worlds. Ian's going to be sharing his personal journey, insights, and actionable advice for turning ADHD into an asset. So sit back, clear your schedule, clear your mind, and get ready for this week's episode of Social Media News Live. Ian, how are you doing today, my friend?
I'm doing well. It's great to be here. I love this show, as I said before. It's great.
Yeah. Good to have you.
Love it. I'm so excited for this topic for Ian too, because if you don't know Ian, you should. Ian is the founder of the Confident Live Marketing Academy and is the host of the Confident Live Marketing Podcast, as well as his new Smart ADHD podcast. He helps entrepreneurs to level up their impact, authority, and profits by using live video confidently. As well as being a geek, husband, and dad to two kids, Ian is also a professional singer and lives near Manchester in the UK. Thanks again, Ian, for being here today.
Yeah, it's great to be here. I love the way you just stopped at the word geek there. You know,
emphasis on the right words. You know, it's all about
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Exactly. Well, but before we get diving into the topic of ADHD, I want to, as a creator, I want to give a shout out to our sponsor of the show, the amazing people at Ecamm. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. If you use code Jeff15, you're going to save 15% on your first purchase. That's ecamm.com/Jeff. Make sure to check them out. They're an amazing, amazing group of people over there. And I also want to do a big shout out real quick to the new thing they got going on. It's their Leap Into Tools and Tactics. So if creating content feels like an impossible task some days, you need to come to this free virtual event. Leap Into Tools and Tactics is all about streaming your content workflows by implementing content efficiencies through different tools and tricks. You can join me April 12th through the 26th and learn some of my favorite tips for content creation. There's so many great speakers. I have been asked to be one of them. You can find out more at leap.ecamm.com. That's leap.ecamm.com. Come check us out. It's going to be an amazing event. All right. So let's jump right into this, Ian, because you and I have been friends. What was it? We talked about it this morning because I was like, when did we first meet? What did you say? It was like 2015. Is that when?
Yeah, 2015. So Social Media Marketing World 2015. I think we didn't know each other before that, but like meeting in person was at Social Media Marketing World 2015.
Yeah. And we've done stuff, met in real life and mid parts of masterminds and all sorts of things. So I've known Ian for a while, but I remember when he he actually went and got diagnosed and as an, you know, ADHD as an adult, and then your path's kind of, you know, diving into that and learning more about it. So I'm really excited about this because we're going to be talking about what like understanding ADHD is. So Ian, can you kind of kick us off? Like, why do you think ADHD is kind of prevalent among like entrepreneurs and creatives? Because I think yeah. more people have it than not. So.
Yeah, and I mean, this is maybe kind of one of the myths or stigmas. Like some people are saying, well, everyone has ADHD, but we'll maybe get onto that in a bit. I mean, I think a lot more people are getting diagnosed because we understand it a lot more. But also, I think the modern world that we're living in, it's great. There's so many cool things for us to play with, but that can actually, I think, in a sense, like make it more difficult for people with ADHD. So like my, you know, our grandparents, like they may have had ADHD, but they could kind of, the world was like an easier place to be ADHD. So that's the first thing. But also like ADHD, people with ADHD tend to gravitate towards entrepreneurship because generally speaking, we have more divergent thinking. We think out of the box, and also it fosters creativity, and we can carve out our own timetable as well, which works really, really well. And I've found that I tend to work really well. I will work like really, really hard for like 2 or 3 days. I get hyper-focused, I focus. And then Friday, I find I need to take that time off. And I have a kind of a much more flexible schedule, I think. And also, we don't have to have a boss who doesn't right. understand us. I've spoken to some people who've had bosses who have really not understood the way their brain works. And so instead of focusing on their strengths, and there are strengths with ADHD, they've focused on the challenges that people with ADHD have. So I think that those are all the reasons: creativity, divergent thinking, flexibility, freedom, all those kind of things. There are some negatives too, but those are the positives.
Awesome.
Yeah, I think that's so interesting. I think also knowing how your brain works is so important to understand how you will work best, right? And that's where that it's kind of a challenge when you do have a boss that doesn't understand. You want to know how you work well so that you can put your best foot forward with all that stuff. But I think for a lot of people, they don't really understand what ADHD is, right? Or they're just familiar with the stereotypes and they kind of say, no, that's not me. I don't have that. But what does it entail, Ian? Like if you could just narrow it down and kind of give a super, you know, quick summary of what does it entail and what is it like, I guess, living with it?
Yeah. And this was my problem. This is why I denied that it was that I was ADHD. In fact, I remember I used to teach singing, and I had a student who said he had ADHD. And I was thinking all these things. Oh, you know, it's just an excuse. It's just, he's just giving this label. He's lazy, you know, and right. I was thinking all these things. And then I've seen people who are very hyperactive people, or they've always forgetful. And I thought that's not really me. So ADHD stands for Attention Deficit Hyperactivity Disorder, which is not very helpful because it isn't really attention deficit. Like I have no problem hyper-focusing on stuff that I'm really interested in. It's just that I struggle with stuff that I'm not interested in. So you could call it dysregulation. Yeah. And then the hyperactivity is a funny one because I was pretty hyperactive as a kid, but I have no problem staying still. Now, what I didn't realize is that hyperactivity can also mean like in the brain. And then I started to realize how much was going on in my head. And I was thinking, no wonder I need afternoon naps. So I think, you know, and there was many different types of ADHD as there are people with ADHD. I think that's really important. So it's really helpful to think of ADHD as a neurological difference, that there is a difference in the way the brain works. And people with ADHD tend to have an unreliable access to what we call the prefrontal cortex. So this is the front of the brain. And this is really important because this, the area of the brain that helps with things like planning, emotional regulation, executive function. So for example, you know, storing information, remembering short-term memory, things like that. And What I didn't realize is that one of the top traits for people that people have with ADHD is emotional dysregulation. We tend to have very big emotions. And I've had over the years, I've had some people say to me, Ian, you're so sensitive. Like, don't be so sensitive. So we tend to like have emotions either number one or possibly two or 10. It's like not in the middle, big emotions. And that can be a really good thing, but not always. So the sensitivity sometimes to noise and stimulation. So like at parties, if there's lots of loud music and somebody wants to talk to me, it's not going to happen. So like things like noise cancelling headphones can really help. Executive functioning. So this is organization, tasks, maintaining focus and things like that. So we can come on to some of the misconceptions, but that's basically what ADHD is.
So I wanted to kind of, and we had a great comment. It says, this was written for me. Didn't know that's what I had until my daughter's doctor told her that's where she got it. So, a lot of people are finding out as they get older that, they may suffer from some of the effects of ADHD or struggle because of that. I know also, and when I was researching for this show, I kind of dove in some articles, and there's a difference between being easily distracted and having ADHD. And I know a lot happened during the pandemic. In fact, there's people in my family who we can't get the medicine that they need because it's been kind of overdiagnosed and people are getting on this, and it's hard to find the drug that kind of helps people cope with ADHD, at least here in the States. So I guess as we move on to these myths and, misperceptions about ADHD, like what's the difference between being easily distracted and having ADHD? Like when people say, I know I'm easily distracted, but I've never been clinically diagnosed to have ADHD.
Yeah. Yeah, and I suppose I need to kind of get the warning out of the way, the medical warning. Like, none of us are experts here in this. And so, like, if you're concerned about any of these things, then do see a medical professional. But, like, if you're identifying with any of these things, it's good to look into it. And so, yeah, one of the things that I heard a lot, so when I got diagnosed, it was a massive relief for me. A lot of guilt went. But then I started talking to people said, look, like, well, what is ADHD? And I said, well, procrastination, these kind of things. And then people said to me, well, but I struggle with it. Everyone struggles with that. And that's the thing. It's a spectrum. In some senses, like, everyone struggles with these things. Everyone struggles with procrastination or getting distracted. I love this. A guy called Rick Green, who's a comedian, and he has ADHD, and he put together this big, very popular documentary called ADD and Loving It. Mm-hmm. And he makes this analogy. Yeah, everyone has ADHD. Well, everyone has height. right. Some people are taller than others. And I think that's a really important thing. Like, I realized, or my parents realized when I was about 12 or 13, that I'm short-sighted, that I needed glasses. So yeah, that's a label. But it was a really helpful label because then I could do something about it. And I think that's the same with ADHD. Like, the problem is it's in the mental health kind of category. And so, yeah, that it's a tricky one. But when you know that you have something that is different or something that impairs you in some way, such as short-sightedness, you can go and get some glasses. And so I think that's really important. And it doesn't necessarily mean you need to go down the medication route. Medication can really help a lot of people. For me at the moment, I've not gone down that route yet. I'm looking at a more holistic approach to it. Who knows? I might look at medication at some point. So that's, I think, the label issue is one thing. Then there's the whole thing. People with ADHD are always late or disorganized. You know what? When I want to be, I can be more organized than most people. I was producing an event for this wildlife tracking company or organization, and there's so many moving parts with that. There were speakers from all around the world. I was thinking about all the kind of functionality, all the things that could go wrong. I was so hyper organized. When it comes to my taxes and my finances, this is where I need some help, because I find that boring. And then things like being late, if it's important, like, for example, if I need to get to the airport, I get there ultra early because I know that if I don't, I'm going to be late. So I overcompensate. And then there's the other thing about impulsivity. Yes, people with ADHD tend to be, can be quite impulsive. And I have been over the years, like if I've seen like the latest smartphone, I used to just go and buy it. But sometimes like people who have ADHD often have other things. So it could be anxiety, it could be other things. And so for me, anxiety tends to counteract my impulsivity. So I won't always go out and buy something new because I'm worried about the money or worried about the fact that this might not be the right thing for me. And I tend to overthink it. So there's a lot of things that go into it. There's not one size fits all, but those are maybe some of the misconceptions.
Awesome. Yeah. That's really helpful because I know we all, what you said earlier, like if these things are resonating with you, go get tested or go talk to your health professional about it. And when I was reading these articles about this, when we were preparing for the show, what you said about, you know, the glasses thing. And like, if you would have short-sighted kids, you'd have them get glasses. They really did. Like when they get that diagnosis, they've said it's like you got glasses for the first time. You felt that relief. You were able to see and understand your brain a little bit better. So I think that's really important. So thanks for, once again, and thanks for transparency about this. I know it seems like almost a taboo subject sometimes, but it's not, it shouldn't be. And I'm glad for you coming on and talking about this.
And it is in a sense. And I have to say, like, I have felt quite nervous about, cause in a sense I'm kind of outing myself, aren't I? Like coming onto the show and talking about ADHD and it's like not the done thing, you know, right. I need to keep quiet and get on with my life. Thank you very much. And
well, you're also British, so that has a lot to do with it too.
That is very true.
Yeah.
But no, that's very helpful for me to understand it as well. And I know, Ian, you kind of talked about how, you know, ADHD and being entrepreneurial or being a creative, it's very prevalent in that community. But from your experience, how has ADHD not only, I guess, interfered, but also like influenced the creative process amongst particularly business owners and entrepreneurs, and yourself included, of course?
Yeah, it's a great question. So first of all, I want to say, like, I think it's too trivial to say that ADHD is a superpower, because I think that kind of goes over the fact that there are many, many challenges. And so I don't want to sugarcoat things. However, there are positives, definite positives. And I think that's what I've realized when I look back at my career. It's when I've leaned into these elements that I've done my best work. And I look at, getting to speak at Social Media Marketing World and some of the blog posts that I've created, and I've gone down these rabbit holes. It's all partly influenced by the way my brain works. So I think some of these things are quick decisions. I've heard people say that an ADHD brain is kind of like, it's like a supercomputer in our heads. But unfortunately, there's no cooling system. Or another way is like having a Ferrari engine, but with, I'm not very good with cars, like a really bad car's brakes. Can you help me with a
Pinto?
Do a Pinto.
Do a Pinto. Yeah.
Pinto's brakes, you know? So it's, the quick decisions are great. There are some ramifications of that. They're also the out of the box thinking. So like, I love to do things a little bit more, a bit differently and creatively to what other people are doing. That just floats my boat. Mm-hmm. And being different. Now, sometimes that can be a problem, but I think often we want to do things differently. And also following my curiosity, I've realized that whenever I try and do what people say I should be doing, which is like, I need to have a proper, you know, strategy, and I need to do things the way people say I should be doing it, that's when I've made my biggest mistakes. And it's also when I've got really bored and frankly depressed. When I've gone down the rabbit hole and followed my curiosity, I'm not saying that it's always served me well. There have been some, you know, disasters along the way, but I've had fun and I've created some amazing things. Like the first course that I did when Facebook Live came out back in 2016, and I was dabbling with OBS Studio. Oh my goodness, OBS Studio, those were the days. Thank goodness for Ecamm Live, that is all I can say. But back in those days, I went down the rabbit hole and I created this really fun thing and I was able to produce this course. But when I followed sometimes what people said I should be doing, I've just not been able to make it work. So I think hopefully that answers your question. Creativity and the innovation.
Yeah.
Yeah. It's almost like it gives you permission to explore that as well. I guess once you understand what you have, you know, it becomes less of why am I going down this rabbit trail this is my creativity. This is who I am, and allow me to explore that and learn from that.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I want to go into this next section where we're talking about kind of some strategies maybe for entrepreneurs and creators who may struggle with this, may have been diagnosed, may have not. In fact, I would love for you, wherever you guys are watching from, is if you have been diagnosed or struggle or are dealing with ADHD and you know that, like what are some of your challenges and how you've overcome them? I would love to know in the comments. I'm sure Ian would as well. But that's the question I want to have for Ian right now is like, what are some of these, you know, significant challenges? You kind of mentioned some of them kind of being late. So you've made some hacks that you show up early to the airport. Yeah. But like when running your business with ADHD, you know, what are some other ways that you have acknowledged those facts, especially since you've been diagnosed? Like now you know why, and now you can kind of make a plan. You know, what are some of those that you have overcome and how you've kind of overcome them in now with this new knowledge that you have?
Yeah, and not knowledge is just so, so important. I remember like just when we first knew each other, Jeff, like, but you know, nearly 10 years ago, like I was beating myself up inside about how like I was not good at certain things or how I thought I wasn't good. And so one of the big challenges, a lot of people with ADHD, not all, many have pretty low self-esteem and they have this negative inner dialogue. Now I know like a lot of people do, but this is really heightened with people with ADHD. So I think, first of all, be aware of that and be aware of that inner dialogue. And that it can be a challenge. That's taken me a long time to, and I'm not there yet with this, but just like, oh, my inner voice is saying that I'm no good at speaking. So that's the first thing. Be aware it's telling you something. And actually, in some ways, you can almost give this person a name. This was something that our ADHD coach, Tamara Vizier, was talking about, actually personifying your that inner voice. You can call it, so mine's kind of like he's trying to be a helpful librarian. He's got all these books and he wants to be really well prepared, but he tends to overthink things. And he says he wants to save me from something that's scary. And this is, again, something that people with ADHD struggle with. It's not being able to differentiate between something like speaking at an event and certain death.
You know? Right, right.
So the brain goes like, warning, you know, alert, alert, alert. So I think the first thing is that's being self-aware, being aware of that inner dialogue, talk to other people and start to make a list of truths about yourself. And this has been a real struggle for me, but actually speaking with others who have a much better idea of my strengths and making a list of those and being aware of my strengths is really important. The other thing I've found is sleep and being constantly tired. Because our brains are working kind of like so, so hard, things that really help with this are things like your diet, exercise, and what I would call really, it's calming down your nervous system. So things like just knowing things that are actually going to calm you down. So exercise definitely helps me. And you could also put the different tasks that you do into different zones. So this is from the book by Tamara Vizier, Your Brain's Not Broken. And she has this kind of four quadrants, which I suppose is, yeah, quadrant means four. So I suppose it was going to be four. But anyway, you've got at the top, you've got your high stimulation activity. So on one side, you've got the green, which is high stimulation and fun. It could be like, maybe you're into roller coasters. That's high stimulation and fun. But on the other side, you've got high stimulation and not fun. That might be, you're speaking at a conference tomorrow and the dog has eaten your presentation and you're going to have to start again. That's not good. And then at the bottom, you've got low stimulation tasks. So the blue zone is on the right. That's low stimulation and fun. It could be like watching Netflix. And then the other, low stimulation, not fun. For me, that's bookkeeping, anything taxes, to do with
yeah,
that.
Yeah.
Taxes. Yeah. What we tend to do, and it's a genius trick, we tend to put it off and put it off, those yellow zone tasks, until they tomorrow. You need to do it tomorrow, and it becomes a red zone task. So we're stimulating our brains in order to actually do the stuff. So knowing the different zones that these tasks are in is really important, because you can then try to, throughout the week, put these different tasks in at different times and be aware of where your brain, how your brain works at different times of the day. Other thing is like struggling to finishing off tasks. Well, I think following my curiosity really helps, but also collaboration and delegation as well. Another thing I struggled with is burnout. And this is when I'm not listening to my body and my mind, and I've just kept on going on and on and on. Maybe I'm comparing myself to others. So some time off. And I know, Jeff, you always tease me about, you know, how many holidays and vacations I have. But it's actually, there's a reason for it. I personally need that time. Now, everyone with ADHD is different. So some people will find different types of ways of relaxing. But yeah, delegation's important. Forgetting things. So my way of with that is to use technology. And we can maybe come on to that in a bit, but that's tools and things to help me with that as well.
So I want to bring up real quick, Connor, before we go on to the next question, is this is a good point by Gary. He goes, someone I work with is usually late to meetings, and I didn't realize it might be related to something that he deals with. So This is especially in a workplace, this can be a sensitive topic because it has to do a lot. This is kind of a mental health kind of, I guess it would fit into there. So how do you deal with that in the workplace? Now, that person could be like just easily distracted, or they could be dealing with ADHD. So how would you suggest you manage something like that in the workplace? Do you take them aside and say, listen, have you been da 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 da? Or, I mean, what would you do in Gary's situation?
Yeah, no, it's a really difficult one, because again, we're all different. So for me, I tend to overcompensate. I've actually found, and this is not necessarily a good tool. So we tend to learn these bad tools. For example, we utilize anger, anxiety, or even things like self-loathing and shame to get us to do things, because we've been late before. We don't want to be late. We don't want to let people down. And so we overcompensate. But some people don't do that. And it's not they're not late because they want to be. It's actually one symptom that people with ADHD have is time blindness. And this is not like we're time lords in the Doctor Who universe or anything, right. But actually time kind of runs in a slightly different way in our heads. And so like, for example, to get ready for this show, like I've got it in my calendar, but there were things that I needed to do in order to get ready for this. So for example, switching on my computer, making sure I've got notes so I know vaguely what I'm talking about. There's quite, and it could be like getting to work. Well, like for some people, you just put getting to work in the calendar. But if you have ADHD, there are so many other things that you might not have thought about, like getting in the car. Have you got enough fuel in your car to get there? Where are your keys? You know, making sure that you've got them in the place. So I think what I would say is, if somebody is struggling getting to work on time, I suppose this is understanding maybe why they are struggling with that. And is there anything that you can do to help that? You know, there could be some tips and hacks to help with that. And I've learned some of those tips and hacks myself, but maybe some people are struggling to find some of those things. So yeah, I think it's important to be flexible to a point, but at the end of the day, you know, if you're working in a business, in a company, you do need to get there on time, but there might be ways that you can do that, you know, talking to them to help them maybe understand time better. And for me, I've found like working with VAs, that is brilliant, because at the end of the day, I've come to realize that my prefrontal cortex, I don't really have as much access to that as I would like. And our prefrontal cortex is kind of like our butler, you know? So if you are more of a neurotypical brain, you can say to your prefrontal cortex, you can say, okay, can you tell me what I'm doing today? And can you tell me where my keys are? And it's kind of replies to you in a Jeeves-like voice. Oh, well, certainly, yes. Your keys are in the hallway, top cabinet, and you have a meeting at 9 a.m. And you'll need to you need to leave because there's a lot of traffic on a Wednesday morning. You need to leave a little bit earlier. With the ADHD brain, it doesn't work quite like that. You know, the brain doesn't work quite, and it's almost like this kind of angry neighbor saying, "Where you're always losing your keys? Where are they?" And so I think it's finding ways to help that person because their brain's wired differently. It's not that they don't care. Mm-hmm. It's just finding that out. And of course, this is assuming the person has ADHD. They might not. They might actually just be, they can't be bothered and they just don't, they want to be like, I don't know.
So I guess what I hear you say is like, don't come at them as, an, you know, accusing them of something. Come as like, how can I help? Like, and then, you know, maybe they don't even know that this is, you know, bringing the rest of the team down. And it's, you know, you can say like, hey, I've noticed this. Maybe, you know, maybe you need to talk to this person, but here's some maybe tech that'll help. Here's something that that I found that helps me. And not, you know, like you're late again, kind of a thing.
Well, it's dialogue, it's conversation, because at the end of the day, you don't know. And quite often what happens is the people with ADHD who are late, they probably are aware and they have this inner dialogue. You know, I remember I was telling you about that the angry neighbor mm-hmm. who's saying, you're always late. You're just pathetic. You know, mm-hmm. you may as well give up. You're going to get sacked. Sometimes those that inner voice can play and that actually exacerbates the situation. So actually, it's important to kind of understand what's happening and to find ways to help. And there are definite strategies. I mean, if it is ADHD, you can go down the medication route and that can really help. But there are holistic approaches as well. And there's tech and there's other ways as well.
Awesome. Thanks for that. Good question, Gary. Thank you.
Yeah, that was an awesome question. It's kind of about having a conversation, talking, having empathy, those sorts of things. Ian, I loved when you talked about the quadrants as well, because for me, that sounded like understanding what the task is and what it takes from you will help you set up and say, this is when I need to do that. And it sets you up for future success, right? You're setting up future Ian for success by saying, these are the tasks, these are how we have to get them done. Especially nowadays when every other YouTube video you see is you need this routine to 10X your lifestyle, right? And that's of course a little crazy, but routines are good. And I have to imagine that when you're living with ADHD, routines and processes are probably especially useful to kind of help you stay productive in those. You've talked a little bit about it, but could you share some other effective systems and routines that could help you?
Yeah, back to quickly back onto the quadrant thing. I think that we all have energy tanks. You know, it doesn't matter what kind of brain you have an energy tank. But understanding, like, if you spent like any time in the red zone, you're going to drain your tank, and you could get leading to burnout. If you spend too much time in the blue zone, it kind of might be fun watching Netflix, but if you do that all the time, you're going to get drained. So it's just balancing that. And this is where routine comes in. The problem, I think, with ADHD is that it's a balancing act, because if you have too much routine, it gets boring. But if you don't have any routine, that's not exactly going to help you get stuff done. So it's finding the right balance for you, and we're all different. So time blocking, I have a kind of a flexible approach to time blocking, because I find it does help, but again, if it becomes too rigid, I ignore it. It's just kind of the way my brain works. But Google Calendar for me, I mean, oh my goodness, it's the most amazing thing ever. It's helped us as a family. We have shared calendars. We know what we're doing. If it's not in the calendar, it's not going to happen. Like, I've got really good at making appointments. It's incredibly rare that I miss an appointment because it's in the calendar, and I've just got my brain focused on that. So not being too rigid, but you do need to have some, you know, routines. Absolutely. I've mentioned having a virtual assistant or somebody to help. Accountability as well. So actually, sometimes I've spent time with my VA, and actually she's just been there saying, okay, you got these 5 emails. And I said, oh, can I just reply to them now? And she's waiting there while I reply to these emails. But the fact that she is there is helping me to do it. Mm-hmm. I find how would I call this? Like artificial deadlines can help. So my kids are at the time when I'm basically dad's taxi. So like I'm taking my daughter to swimming or to music practice and I'm in the car park like for 45 minutes an hour. I get some of my best work done because I've only got 50 minutes to do stuff. And I'm kind of almost artificially firing up my, I think it's called my limbic system in my brain. I'm getting all technical now, but this is the stuff that I've been learning. And so like artificial time limits can help. And then things like getting out of the house. So changing the environment. So sometimes that could be working, say it could be like working in a different room of the house, going to a coffee shop. Don't forget your noise cancelling headphones and play some, you know, white noise or brown noise through that. We can talk about that in a bit. I use timers as well because of this kind of weird perception of time that ADHD people tend to have. Having a, like, you know, you could call this a Pomodoro technique. I'm not entirely convinced Pomodoro works in the sense that I think you need to be flexible with ADHD because sometimes you're just so in the zone, you're so hyper-focused that there's no way you're going to stop. In fact, if you stop, you're going to find it very difficult to get back into it. But this is particularly for stuff that you don't want to do, your yellow zone tasks. Timers are great. And then there's, of course, this technology as well as, I mean, I use things like Notion. We've mentioned Google Calendars. There's all this kind of stuff, which you can maybe talk about in a bit.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I think that's all really good. One of the, and this is a question somebody sent me when they knew that we're going to be talking about this topic. So I'm really interested in your thoughts on this. So it's creating consistently. So creating consistently can really be challenging. We, as creators, entrepreneurs, we know all about that. So how do you maintain motivation and continue to produce new content or ideas, particularly during, you know, you mentioned before, like sometimes just the, with the, you know, the ups and downs, those unmotivated phases, like when you're unmotivated, how do you continue to produce this new content and ideas that you have to do as a creator or entrepreneur?
This is a tough one, I think, because so that, you know, this is why people do go down the medication route. I believe that can sometimes help, but you know, holistically, I've mentioned quite a few of those things, you know, getting exercise, but putting all those to one side, like I, again, following my curiosity, making sure that the tasks that I'm doing are stuff that I enjoy. And I found this with my show that I needed to be flexible enough in order to be able to keep my curiosity going. And actually I found with my Confident Live show, and we can maybe talk about this in a bit, that there were things that I really wanted to talk about that weren't really kind of appropriate. They weren't really part of like about live video and which is my what my podcast and show is about. So I ended up realizing, well, I need to create a new show and so I can talk about that. But also, like, I think you need to give yourself permission. And this is a really hard one for me. You need to give yourself permission to that it's okay to stop. And it's okay not to be consistent. Like, next week, I'm going to be totally honest with you. I don't have an episode ready for the Confident Line Marketing Show. I've had three out and next week I don't. So like I could really stress about that, or I could say, well, okay, I'm going to do a little bonus episode. I'm going to record 5-10 minutes and that's okay. The world is still going to be here. And so you think it's just like understanding that it's okay. However, what really helped me at the start when I, you know, when I'm thinking about how I was consistent with the Confident Live Marketing Show from May 2019 until last year. I did it every single week, or the podcast was every single week. And the only way I did that was I had a solid plan and a process. And so I knew why I was doing it. I knew how I was going to do it. I had a good process and I had people helping me. And so although you might want to be alone, yes, you can be alone in terms of the creativity, but you kind of need help from other people as well, I think. And you also need to give yourself permission to change and stop along the way.
Mm, great advice.
Yeah, you've kind of hinted a little bit at tech helping you. And I love this question from Dustin, who says, you know, I'm curious if you've been able to utilize AI in any way to help with your ADHD. So Ian, let's kind of take that and combine it with just tech or digital tools in general. What have you found useful to help when it comes to managing your ADHD, scheduling, you know, time management, productivity, all that stuff?
Well, so I want to preface this in saying that for some people, like AI is like new technology can be overwhelming and will explode people's brains. And So, but you kind of like, if you can get over that, for me, I am immensely excited about using AI to help me. It's like in preparation of coming onto the show, for example, I had so many things that I wanted to talk about. I was thinking, oh my goodness, like I'm going to be asked this. Like, I knew that you were probably going to ask me, how would you explain what ADHD is? You know, what is it? And so I actually used AI to kind of go back through some of the stuff that I've talked about, and not to tell me what I was going to say, but to give me an idea, to move me from a blank piece of paper to something which I can then tweak and put mm-hmm. my own creativity in. So like tools like ChatGPT or whatever have been so helpful to getting me off the blank page into kind of creating stuff. Some summaries of meetings. And like, I remember, Jeff, when we went to Creator Camp, I actually kept this audio note that was converted into ChatGPT summaries of what was happening every day. I use Notion I've built my own kind of CRM. So I basically put most people I know into there. And then I've linked them up with which events I've met them at. So I can go in there and I can see every event that I've seen you, Jeff, in it. And that is brilliant, because it's basically like my second brain. It is my mm-hmm. brain, basically. I've become like a cybernetic organism. And then there's Google Calendar at the moment, I mean, and maybe somebody can correct me on this, doesn't have AI. I'm a little bit nervous about putting AI into organizing my week. I don't think we're there yet, or I'm not there yet, because I want to have some control over that. Mm-hmm. But I think with some of the processes, it can be really helpful. So things like that. But there are other some kind of non-AI tools. So I do want to big shout out to things like Apple AirTags. I no longer forget my keys. I know where they are. That's right. There's tools like Brain FM. I use that all the time with my noise cancelling headphones, because it just gets rid of any distractions. It helps me go to sleep. So Brain FM, basically, it plays sounds and music to kind of either get rid of distractions, or it helps you actually focus on what you're doing. Mm-hmm. And I use that all the time. Things like reminders, whether it's Apple reminders or whatever it is, to help you like with shopping lists. Readwise, I use that to keep a track of all my books and things like that. I could go on, but there's a big
list.
Yeah,
so I think that's Readwise is great. You have a follow-up? You were gonna ask?
I have a follow-up to that, because this is just me personally. Getting started with Notion, I find so daunting, because I get overwhelmed and my brain starts going 100 miles an hour when I just see the blank page, and that I can set it up anyway almost fills me with more anxiety versus someone just saying, this is how you should do it. So Ian, I'm curious, when you started with that, was it buying templates? Was it you knew exactly what you wanted, or did you just kind of go in and go crazy?
Yeah. So like it was, so hopefully this is encouraging. I think I was overwhelmed. Yeah, I watched all these YouTube videos and I probably got hyper fixated or hyper whatever it is. I was thinking, oh my goodness, there's all these amazing opportunities and all these amazing YouTubers talking about it. But I realized that a lot of them was spending all this time making it look beautiful. And I'm not against, like, I think that's all great. But what I thought was, and I bought lots of templates, and I thought, do you know what? What's always helped is start simply and build. So I knew that I wanted to create a way to help me remember the people, like friends, contacts, and where I met them. So all I did, I didn't worry about the way it looked. I just created a really simple database in Notion with people's names and links to places. And then I created another database of events that I'd been to. And then I linked the two together. So you can have database of contacts, database of places. So it could be places like, you know, Ecamm, Creator Camp, Social Media Marketer World, whatever. And so I can link those two together. And I think that's what I love about Notion. You can create databases and then link them together. Mm-hmm. And so I just made it really simple. And then now I've got a travel database and I've got my stuff database. So I've got all my like cables and all that kind of stuff and tech, and I've got that in there. But I didn't start off with that. Oh my goodness, no way. I just started simply and built it over time. So I would say just start like that. Don't worry about making it beautiful. Mine's still not beautiful. Maybe I will make it beautiful at some point, but it just works. And at the end of the day, you know, these tools are to help us solve a problem. And I'm not against spending time making them look beautiful, but that's kind of more, that's actually not going to help you. It might give you fun along the way. And I'm not saying that's a bad thing, but a lot of these YouTubers, they're just kind of like having fun building the system as opposed to thinking about what problem it actually solves at the end of the day. And I think that's what you need to focus on.
So what I did, because now my life is in Notion, is I bought templates, and the one I use is Tomix, because I wanted to do Second Brain. I wanted to do something that would have my content, because as I got more and more clients and doing more and more shows, I could easily miss things. So I have checklists for each one of those things, and I am very disciplined now that I can go checklists. And so I can know who has what, where are things at, what content I put out on the different platforms. And it sounds like a lot, but the peace of mind that I have that I can look at that and go, oh, that is done. Okay. I can move on to the other thing. So I bought a template and then there's some things that I don't even use on it, but it got me set up to start. But like Dustin says, like he is like, he's like you, and he goes, he's the same way, start simple and build from there. Perhaps take bits of inspiration from the templates I find. And even when we had Kat Milleville on our show, she was talking about, you know, just do it like that, you know, make it your own or buy one and don't worry about the stuff you're not going to use. Don't stress about it. Yeah. I think either way, as long as you get it and you are disciplined enough to do that, I think is important. Another thing from Dustin I want to pull up says Pomodoro definitely helps me so much that I built an app for it specifically for how it best works with my flows. So Dustin is a little bit of a genius and kind of makes me mad that he can do that. But I use a Pomodoro technique called Focus to Do, which puts actually my task list and I can go through each one and have that time. It's really good, like you said, Ian, for stuff that you don't want to do, like, okay, I'm going to work 20 minutes on my, or 25 minutes on my taxes, which I just, but I have to have that timer to make me get focused. But if I'm working on something like preparing for a podcast I need to go over that, it's fine. Like you said, have flexibility. So back to ADHD and kind of this time management thing. Is there anything else, any advice you have for entrepreneurs that have or struggle with ADHD in terms of managing time and setting realistic goals? Because I know you and I have talked before. It's like we say, like, I'm going to do all of this and I'm going to do it in the next day. And then we're like, then we feel bad because the day went by and like we'd got maybe one of the tasks that we have trouble figuring out what we can actually do versus what we want to do. So how do you manage time and set realistic goals for yourself?
Oh yeah, you're speaking my language here. So I've mentioned that the way we kind of experience time differently, but also we tend to kind of, you know, I've not mentioned the whole dopamine thing. You know, we it's difficult to get the dopamine, which is that kind of hormone that gives us that positive feedback on things. And so and a lot of us tend to be perfectionists and compare ourselves with others and think, oh, I've got all this stuff that I need to do. And just like the feeling that you know that you're going to do it sounds amazing. But then you forget that most of those tasks aren't actually tasks. They are tasks of tasks of tasks. They're projects.
Right.
So, and you don't also know about other distractions that are going to come in that day, like a phone call or somebody comes to the door or an email's popped in and you got distracted. And then you get to the end of the day and you've probably done like 20 tasks, but there weren't, probably about two of them were on the list. Right. And so I think having a little bit of flexibility here is good, because you know you just need to be aware that that's going to sometimes happen. But this is why having some kind of to-do app where you're listing things, but getting that help to break them into those actual tasks as opposed to projects, again getting help from maybe a virtual assistant, ideally, and a virtual assistant who understands the way the ADHD brain works is helpful as well. And all the stuff that we've talked about before about understanding the different zones that your tasks are in, if they're all financial and to do with taxes and bookkeeping, good luck with that. That's all I can say. Just maybe focus on one or two things for 15 minutes and then reward yourself afterwards with something. Because again, like it is, you know, that dopamine thing. We don't want to get addicted to those tasks, but maybe you're okay. You can say, well, after that, I'm going to do something, a fun task as well. But yeah, I think be realistic with your goals because of that perfectionism. However, I'm going to like almost contradict that. I think because of that potential for that negative self-chatter, you also need to dream big sometimes. And I've sometimes like think, well, I can't achieve that because I'm no good at it. And actually, when I have given myself the permission to dream big dreams, I have ended up achieving those because over time I've built those strategies to get there. So yeah, hopefully all that helps.
So I know we've talked about this before, is a lot of times we compare ourselves to others and we don't look back seeing how far we've come. Like if we look back to 2015, when we first met in the real life at Social Media Marketing World, we would have never dreamed what we were doing right now and who we were working for and the project we'd be able to do and accomplish and continue to work. So it's trying to create that new groove in your brain. Instead of comparing yourself to others, look how far you've come. And that's something I think, you know, you and I have talked about a lot. So by the way, something that, you know, is good and is something you can train your brain to do is our friends over at Ecamm. That's right, folks. Ecamm is who sponsors the show. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. I know Ian uses them. They're an amazing company. They help support the show. They believe from the show from the beginning. I'm very thankful for them, and it's an amazing tool. And don't forget about the Leap into Tools and Tactics that's coming up here in next month. You can find out more about that at leap.ecamm.com. Leap.ecamm.com. I'm going to be talking about some of my favorite AI tools for creative showmanships and strategic repurposing, how I use it for this show. So it's going to be a fun time over there. So once again, Leap at leap.ecamm.com. All right. So now let's dive into this new project that you've been cooking up for a while. Ian, I know you've talked about this for a while. We've talked about it in our masterminds and stuff, but yeah, Connor, I know you had a question about it as well.
Yeah, I'm excited about this. So the Smart ADHD podcast, new launch, new show, all that fun stuff. So I know, Ian, you kind of talked a little bit about hesitations, but what inspired you to one, launch this podcast, and two, what were some of those hesitations that you might've had initially when it came to starting this?
Yeah. I love the way you asked that question, focusing on the positive first, because I would always like focus on the negatives first. But for me, going down the ADHD route and realizing that I had ADHD and that I had my brain works differently took away so much guilt and has helped me become much more productive and just understanding it's been amazing. And I've spoken to so many other people who have had similar experiences. And so I've always kind of known I was different. And I questioned my own intelligence. And so I think that was part of it. But also, so I met this ADHD coach called Dr. Tamara Razia. I came across her on YouTube. I invited her onto my other podcast. We became really good friends. She became our ADHD coach. And we were just talking about this, and I was thinking, I'd really like to launch a podcast about this. And she said, you need to do it. And like, she's quite a big name in the ADHD expert world. And so I kind of felt compelled, partly because she was saying I should, but also like I had this feeling inside of me that I just kind of almost felt like I should be doing this. Like I came out with something a few years ago, which was like what I really love to be is like a catalyst for the transformation in people's lives. And and I feel that this podcast could be that. But there's a big but, and the but was that, lots of people have been struggling, but there's still a lot of stigma attached to it as well. And you know, some people have said to me, Ian, you shouldn't do that because like ADHD people are seen as unreliable. They're always late for things. And while that might not be the case, you know, you might not get hired if you say that about yourself? And, you know, do you want that to define you? So there was that, and the fact that I'm calling it smart ADHD as well. Like, and I have a double problem here, because, like, first of all, as I said, people with ADHD tend to question their intelligence and they have that kind of low self-esteem. But also, I'm British, like, and as Brits, we don't tell, you know, we don't kind of like tend to kind of talk about our successes. Like, this is why I love spending time with you Americans. Not that you're all like this. I want to paint stereotypes, but like in the UK, we don't want to kind of like big ourselves up. And I'm not saying I'm like super intelligent, but I think I've realized I'm probably more intelligent than I was giving myself, you know, permission
you can
to
say,
be or whatever.
Say it, credit for. You can say it, Ian. I know you're British, it's hard to say, but you can say it.
No, I can't even bring myself to say it. But that's the focus of this podcast, is for smart people with ADHD. But it's not just smart people, it's also smart strategies. So even if you feel you're not smart, it's all about smart strategies. But yeah, the other thing is, if you are smart, then often you have learned tools to help you counteract your ADHD symptoms. Some of them are really good and some of them are really bad. And I've realized, so this is, again, something from Dr. Tamara Rozier. She talks about the 6 bad tools that we tend to use, and the things like using anxiety, procrastination, avoidance, self-loathing and shame and anger. And those tools can really affect you in a negative state, in a negative way. And so that's why I feel it's so important to do that. And so that's why I'm launching this podcast and YouTube channel.
So this is an interesting question. I just do it because I know you do Confident Live, and that's another part of your brand, is helping people go live, you know, easily and confidently. But you're doing this one as a pre-recorded show. Is there a reason you did this? Is it because of you didn't want to stress about it, or why did you do it this way? Because I mean, you excel at going live, and you actually remote produce for other people. What's the reason behind doing it this way?
And I've actually done it the same with the Confident Live marketing show. I've actually switched that, and I don't do that live. I am going live occasionally with that. And I had this negative voice saying, like, Ian, like, it's called the Confident Live marketing show and you're not going live. And somebody said to me, like, Ian, you've already demonstrated that you know what you're talking about when it comes to live. So it's okay. So for me, for this new podcast, we're doing short episodes. So we're trying to make them 20 to 25 minutes long. So I'm trying to cut out as much waffle and trying to get straight to the point to make them, I suppose, ADHD friendly with that time. And we're focusing on, I suppose, it's education, addressing myths, specific topics as well. So the advantage with that is that in that 1 hour of time, I can then I can record two episodes. So that's really good. I can batch them as well. I can do multiple times today. You could still do that with live. But that's really helpful. So I can be more flexible. I love live. I still do it. But to be honest, at the frequency I was doing it at before, it was draining. I find live very exciting, but it also drained me a little bit too. I felt like I needed to change. Also, not all guests are going to be comfortable with live, particularly, you know, moving out of the marketing and social media space. Not everyone is techie. And I've got longer episodes. So the 20 to 25 minute episodes are with guests, expert guests. I'm interspersing those episodes I'm bringing on smart entrepreneurs, business owners, and creatives who have been navigating their lives with ADHD on to tell their story. And we're doing the opposite. So we're actually doing really long episodes. So the recent one was almost 90 minutes.
Wow.
And we're going deep into their story I'm so excited about those. The expert episodes are really exciting too, but actually allowing people to speak, and we can actually really get into that. And you can imagine if that was live, sometimes they might get onto a sensitive topic and subject. Right. And I want to have the sensitivity. Maybe if they don't feel comfortable with that, we can maybe edit it later. I think in most cases they won't, but I think that wouldn't work so well for live.
Those are great points. I was just curious because of that. So make sure you guys check out Ian's podcast, the Smart ADHD podcast. You can find that at smartadhd.me. That's where you can go and you can subscribe. Make sure you subscribe, listen, and then leave a rating and review. That always helps new podcasts out. And also you can find Ian at,
I'm just going to let you stumble over it.
Because I'm trying to think, do they spell the same right in England?
IAG.me is other website. Yeah.
Yes. So then you can get all his Confident Live stuff, all his podcast things there. So make sure to check him out. Connor Brown, where can people find out more about the Unsinkable Connor Brown?
You can go to wdwopinion.com and follow me at wdwopinion across the socials.
And don't forget, our show is sponsored by the amazing folks over at Ecamm. You can find out more about them at ecamm.com/Jeff. That will give you the actual, like, if you enter the code Jeff 15, you'll actually save 15% on your first purchase. So make sure to do that. ecamm.com/Jeff. And thank you, Ian, for this. Thank you for you guys, all your great comments. Gary says, a great discussion today, gents, enlightening. Have a happy Easter. Have a happy Easter as well. Hope you guys all have a great Easter with friends and family. And Dustin says, he's always been jealous of that three-letter domain name, Ian. So, yes, one more thing. Thank you guys so much for your comments and questions. As if you're watching this on the replay, ask your questions. I know Ian's going to be following on the comments. We'd love to help in any way we can. But we thank you guys so much. We'll see you guys next week. Have a great one. Bye, everybody.
Social Media News Live.